Yeah, we're going to need to pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done in my life and the lives of the people here. I ask that you do even more through Jesus. Amen. Hi, my name is Joseph. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pornography and isolation. Oh, hey. For most of my life, I've been isolated from others, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, but so often spiritually. I was raised in a home that pointed me to God and His ways, but I went the wrong way and sought life through prideful thinking, sexual immorality, and trying to earn my way to God. Growing up, I believed that if I simply obeyed those in authority, I would do well in life. But that attitude put unfair expectations on others and made me feel very self-conscious. For many years, anytime I walked into a room, I felt like everybody's eyes were pointed directly at me. In high school, I hated arriving late to things because that meant drawing attention to myself. So I became a perfectionist at arriving not quite late, but not too early that I'd have to actually talk to people. I didn't seem to fit in because it was easier for me to listen rather than speak. So early on, I learned how to use jokes and sarcasm as a defense against feeling insecure about what people thought about me. Because I feared man more than I feared God, my life was controlled by crippling anxiety. To avoid discomfort, I removed myself from discomfort, even if it meant having superficial relationships. This resulted in resentment toward God, especially when my rule following, with rules like avoiding drugs and alcohol, didn't give me everything I wanted. And when I started believing and realizing that God and I were not at peace, I began willfully disobeying God. In high school, I discovered internet pornography. Due to my rule-based conditioning, I had trained my mind to avoid things that I knew were wrong, but because my actions were driven by fear, not by love for God or other people, my lustful desires quickly overtook that ground. In college, I put God in a box and never thought about His plans. By the time I moved back to Dallas, I was no longer struggling with pornography and masturbation. I was celebrating them. This kind of sexual immorality was something that I could get away with in private, even while pretending that everything was okay on the outside. Comfort became the thing that I loved most, and stress was my trigger to seek her out. Whether binging on food, porn, laziness, my patterns followed the same template. Sure, I could go a while without these things, but stress would always come back, and I would talk myself into believing that they would ultimately satisfy, but they never did. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" But during my darkest time and driven by my desire to understand my motivations, I began researching human sociology. I wanted to understand why people do the things that they do, and why I kept doing the things that I did not want to do. My answer came in the form of a disturbing question I asked myself. What would be so bad about visiting a prostitute? Somehow, arriving at that question jolted me into realizing just how far I had strayed from God, just how dark my heart had become, and I knew that I needed help. As if on cue, I came across a story that an old acquaintance had posted on Facebook. It was his regen testimony. Listening to it, I was amazed that someone could talk so openly about his issues, on the internet no less. I'd simply never known that kind of authenticity. I thought, well, maybe this could be for me. The next Sunday, the pastor here was preaching through a series called Regeneration. He said, "The healthiest people at this church show up on Monday night." So I thought, okay, this is definitely for me. During my recovery, I encountered Jesus Christ. Not merely the idea of Him, but the actual person. The one who knows more about me than I will ever know about me, and yet He still loves me. It turns out that He was the person I had been isolating from the most. During my recovery, Jesus taught me that God is most concerned not with my actions, but with the state of my heart. Not with what I do, but who I put my hope in. During step one, I admitted that I'm prideful and that I had lived through years of unconfessed sin. And I agreed that all of my people-pleasing, Joseph-pleasing, was not God-pleasing. All of my lust, abuse of social media and dating apps, pursuing comfort, these were things that had separated me from God. But most of all, I finally admitted that I was just tired of being alone. In step two, I was reminded of who God is. He's the one who paid the cost that I owed because of my sins. You see, at the root of my struggles is pride. Because of my pride, I don't like being in someone's debt. I don't like people holding doors open for me. But that's exactly what Christ did. He sacrificed himself on the cross to take the punishment for my sins. And I, a sinner, can have true peace with God, the Holy One. Jesus is the only one with the power to do that. 1 week during step four, that truth sunk in deeper than it had before. I read the story in Luke chapter 8 about the woman with the discharge. Do you guys remember that story? Jesus was traveling through town, and a sick person touched the fringe of Jesus' cloak, just in the hope of being healed. Of course she was. Jesus turned to her and said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I'm not a woman with a discharge, a shaming illness, but I know what it means to be isolated. This is pretty amazing. Even though this unclean person touched Jesus, Jesus did not become unclean, but she became clean. I thought, if Jesus could heal her, just maybe he could heal me too. In Regen, one of the rules is to keep it brief. But that Monday night in my close group, I talked so long that I was very deservedly and very gently cut off by my group leader. Have any of my friends here tonight ever known me to talk too much? Probably not. Since that night, it's become clear to me that Jesus is the only one worth talking about. Three years later, I'm still on step 12, regenerate. Because I've experienced regeneration through Christ, I don't want to go back to my old self. So I hang out in places where I'm reminded of him, and the best way of doing that is to promote his message to others. I joined a community group of other men so that they could remind me and I could remind them. I moved out of my one-bedroom apartment and into a place with the other guys who also want to know the truth. God has given me opportunities to see him work in this city and on cities on the other side of the planet. It wasn't until several months into my recovery that I could call pornography a past struggle, even though I knew that porn abuses people, promotes sex trafficking, involves chemical addiction, and is just a waste of time. All of that head knowledge didn't make me stop. Rather, I only found true repentance once I understood that it affects my daily walk with Christ, and once I accepted that there is nothing I can do to earn his favor, because his love for me is unending. Nowadays, whenever I catch myself worshiping something other than the one true God, I confess it to him, and I do my best to turn away from that, asking God for help. Because of my past, I proactively seek to minimize opportunities for my flesh to influence me. To combat my past abuse of technology, I've had to delete apps, give my devices to friends, unsubscribe from certain media. Sometimes I've had to change my route to work, take a different way to the break room, and even remove my door from my bedroom. I'm around people who I know will ask me the tough questions I used to avoid. And I've had to ask forgiveness from old friends with whom I was not completely genuine. Following the example of Jesus, I take this world as it is, not as I would have or control it. Today, I struggle with finding a healthy balance between avoiding isolation and overcommitting. As a former people pleaser, I often struggle with saying no, even to good things. But isn't that a good reminder that I need Christ every day, not just yesterday? Make no mistake, the person you see tonight is not the person who walked in here 4 years ago. And that the only way that's possible is through Christ, because of his work. So, to wrap up, I want you to know that my name is Joseph. I'm recovering from pornography and isolation. But I've been given a new life because of Christ. My life used to be a story of a dead man, a zombie. But now I'm alive due to Christ. And Jesus is the only one who can bring us back to life. Thank you for listening.